Welcome to the weekly service message from the Crossbridge Church. Look for us on the web at www.crossbridgeny.org. Join us now as Pastor Terry Wiese delivers this week's message.
Well, welcome to Crossbridge this morning. It is our pleasure and our privilege to have each and every one of you here with us as our guests, our members, and our attenders. I'd encourage you now, if you would, go ahead and grab your Bible and turn to the book of Colossians. It's the epistle of Paul to the church at Colossae, and chapter 2, we'll be looking at verses 6 through 15. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in the chair in front of you, and you can find Colossians chapter 2 on page 983. So if you go ahead and grab that Bible and open up to it. It was January 1961. The football season had ended in a heartbreaking defeat for the Green Bay Packers when they squandered a fourth quarter lead to lose the NFL championship to the Philadelphia Eagles. Months later, the legendary coach of the Packers, Vince Lombardi, walked into the training camp at Green Bay and stood before 36 professional athletes who in their prior months had just watched their championship dreams slip through their fingers. Determined to vindicate themselves, the players gathered together on the first day of training camp in July 1961. They were eager to work out the details of their game, and they would take it just to the next level and earn themselves a championship. Coach Vince Lombardi started the camp. And then holding something that needed no explanation, he lifted up a football and he said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." In five words, he communicated his point. If you want to be successful, you're going to remember the basics and be sure you're executing the fundamentals. You build on the basics, you build on the fundamentals, but you never move past them. Coach Lombardi's focus continued throughout the entire camp. Each player reviewed and he remembered the fundamentals of their position. How to defend and tackle, how to catch and throw, how to stand and run. Ultimately, how to think about the game. And 6 months later, these same group of men gathered together to hear another one of Vince Lombardi's speeches. This time, it was to celebrate the NFL championship and their 37-0 victory over the New York Giants. By remembering the fundamentals, they had become the best in the league at the task that everyone else took for granted. You see, as believers, we too move back to the basics. We must always understand that Christ is who He is. What it means to be saved, what it means to be in Christ, and what our duty is as a Christ follower. These are the basics for every believer. But sometimes it's good for us to be reminded. Do you get that from this? It's good for us to take a refresher course that helps us to stand firm in our faith, to deepen our roots, and to have stability in our daily walk with Christ. It helps us to stand firm against the attacks of Satan. And this is what Paul was talking about when he wrote to the believers in Colossae. He wanted to remind them of the basics, what they had already been taught, and so they wouldn't give in to the attacks that they've been experiencing, particularly from the false teachers. This is what we're going back to today in our text. And so if you would, please open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 15. And if you would, and I invite you in honoring the Word of God to stand with me as I read God's holy Word in Colossians chapter 2 and beginning in verse 6 and reading through verse 15. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, as we think about this, we just want to call to remembrance of the greatness of your word and of you yourself. We are reminded here, Father, that we often need to refocus ourselves. We need to remember and recall what we've been taught. We need a refresher course to remind us of how great you are, how much you love us, and how we ought to walk in you. Father, today I pray that you would change each and every one of our hearts to be more Christ-like, that we walk in the newness of our faith, faithfully administering the word to our life and our families and our friends. Lord, it's seeking each and every day for our hearts to be transformed by your gospel, that we would live out that gospel and that others would see Christ in us. We praise you and we love you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The believers in the city of Colossae had been under attack by false teachers. The Colossians were being tempted to accept the false teaching as a substitute for Christ. Paul was so distracted by this that he encouraged them to stand strong in chapter 2. He wanted them to be firm in their faith, to know what they believe, and not to be persuaded by the false teachings that they were hearing. Paul was teaching them this. Don't let anyone lead you astray with empty philosophy, empty deceit that comes from human thinking and from the evil powers of this world and not from Christ. And so Paul begins this part of our text by giving them a refresher course. He says in verse 6, therefore. So therefore we look back to the preceding verses. And in verse 5, where Paul said he rejoiced that they were exercising good discipline and stability in their faith in Christ. But he also knew that they could be in danger. And so he wants to warn them to be on guard for these false teachers. We too should be on guard, as we can be led astray by false teachers also. There are many out there who will tell us that salvation is by grace through faith, but you must also do something in order to be saved, is what they say. You must dress a certain way, eat in certain foods, or follow certain rules. But that's heresy, and not at all what salvation is in Christ means. But if we don't truly understand who Christ is and what he has done for us, we can very easily be led astray. And so we too are going to touch on some of the basics today. Paul wants the Colossians and us to recall who you are in Christ, to resist the urge to rebel against the Scriptures, and to remember what we have in Christ. Let's look at the first one here. Recall who you are in Christ. In verse 6, Paul exhorts these believers. He encourages them to continue their walk in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Because you're in Christ, now walk in him. Live out your Christian life. Our walk refers to our daily living, our conduct and our behavior. In other words, Paul is summing up for us to live a lifestyle worthy of the Lord. He is calling believers to live in a way that is consistent to what they have declared as far as being Christ followers or disciples of Christ. It means living in union with him and living like him. It means when we are walking in Christ, it means that our conduct should reflect a Christ-likeness. The Apostle Paul is reminding them, he's encouraging them to recall who they are in Christ. You know, that would keep us out of a whole lot of trouble if we would just recall who we are in Christ. They've been called to salvation. They have put their faith and trust in the saving power of Jesus Christ. And they are to live a life worthy of that calling. They are to be yielding themselves to Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of their lives. And that's what it means to walk in him. Church, we also need to recall who we are in Christ. When we receive him as our Lord and Savior was not the end of our spiritual life, but only the beginning of our journey. It's the beginning. And often we think of coming to the point of committing ourselves to Christ as a climax of the Holy Spirit's work in us. But that's not true. It's just the beginning of the Spirit's work in us. You see, receiving Christ, confessing him, acknowledging to him that he is our Lord and Savior, does not end our spiritual journey. It's the beginning of a spiritual relationship that will never, ever end. He is living in us. He is our guide. The Spirit of God is there for us. And as Paul wants us to remember, that receiving Christ is not an isolated incident. It's not something that happened in the past to be done with. No, it's the beginning of our spiritual journey. We are to be growing and maturing in Christ in our daily walk. And we will stub our toe, we will stumble, we will do face plants, but we have to get back up and realize that we are in Christ. So we need to remember who we are in Christ. Remember who you are in Christ. We're to be growing and maturing in Christ in our daily walk. Paul goes on in verse 7 to say that there are some evidences of those who are walking in Christ. If Christ is the object of your faith, of my faith, if he is the one who saves us, then surely it is Christ who must be the compass of our spiritual growth and our development. He sets the course for us. He points us in the direction. He must be the compass of our life. And if he's the one that saved us, then surely it is Christ who directs us in our growth and our development. He is the one on whom we must depend upon. As we walk with him, Paul writes, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Just as you were taught about abounding in thanksgiving. This shows us that being in Christ, we should always be growing. Paul expects Christ followers to grow. That means you and I are supposed to grow spiritually. Paul uses these descriptive words here in describing what a person who walks in Christ looks like. He's not saying, I want you to grow. He's saying, you will grow. If you're a Christ follower, you will grow. You're going to be growing in Christ. He expects us to have an interest in spiritual growth. He expects to see growth in us, and that is dependent upon Christ and his strength. So the reality of it is, when we come to Christ, we are expected to grow, just as a newborn baby is expected to grow. We are to grow, and we will grow, one way or the other. What's amazing is God has a way of making us grow. Unfortunately for me, it's not been through the school of education. For me, it's been through the school of hard knocks. Hitting that wall for the 32nd time, realizing I'm not going to get through it, God says, you know, I have a better way. We need to grow. He says, I want you to grow. And he wants us to be dependent upon Christ and his strength. Look what he says in this verse. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, established in the faith. And get this here. This is why we need to remember and recall who we are. This is a refresher course here. Just as you were taught. As we walk in Christ, as our daily conduct grows to be more and more like Christ, we will experience growth and spiritual maturity. We will be rooted up and built up in him. You know what? We will be firmly established in what we believe when we know and understand who we are in Christ. And then I would encourage you, 3 weeks from today starts the Fundamentals of the Faith. Is our Starting Point class. I encourage you to take that. Even if you're a member, even if you are not interested in being a member, take the class. It's well worth understanding who you are in Christ. Learning, growing, being firmly rooted in him and growing in him shows that he is establishing our faith. And so Paul reminds the Colossians, that they have been taught this already. They know the truth. Don't forget what you've been taught. If you want to be a Christ follower who can stand against the temptations and the false teachings of this world, we must remember and recall what it means for us to be in Christ. Being in Christ means we need to respond like Christ responds. And so remember what you've been taught. Remember what you've learned. To grow in Christ and to have a strong foundation means to know who Christ is and spending time in his word, staying and studying the word and applying it to your life, applying the principles and precepts of the scripture into our life to live and walk as Christ walked. Praying and asking God what he wants us to do, what we're learning, and how does he want us to live. Our faith is established in God's instructions. Believers, we must be walking in him, growing in him, growing deep roots that establish our faith. This is a description of a healthy Christian life, and the reason we need those real deep roots is because when the winds of trials and tragedy come our way, and even the winds of triumph, we need those roots to keep us stable. Not becoming arrogant or not falling into what's the use? God doesn't care. We need those roots deep We need to recall who we are in Christ. We need this refresher course as Paul is giving to the church at Colossae. We must be walking in Him, growing in Him, and growing deeper roots that really establish our faith. This is the description of a healthy Christian life. So my question to you this morning, church, is how's your health today spiritually? Are you walking in Christ? Is there evidence that you are growing and maturing spiritually? You see, the evidence of one who's walking in Christ is they are abounding in thanksgiving. Paul is teaching us that the Christian life involves thanksgiving, abundant thanksgiving. Paul is wanting us to recall that the Christian life is to be filled with a gratitude toward God. Gratitude and thanksgiving are His gift of salvation for His redeeming work on the cross, for saving us and adopting us into His family. A believer's life should be marked by thanksgiving, abounding in thanksgiving. And you say, well, what does that look like? We should live a life that is overflowing with thankfulness to God. As the gracious author of all that we are and all that we have, a heart that's filled with thanksgiving is a thankful heart that shows the Holy Spirit's work in you. When we are abounding in thanksgiving, our thoughts of thanksgiving and gratitude move us away from thinking about ourselves to focusing on God. It comes from humility, but it ends up in praise. Consider this. We have all problems. We have all our problems and difficulties that arise in our life. There are times when it is difficult, to say the least, to be thankful, especially for what we're going through. However, we can be thankful because we are in Christ and He is in us in every situation. For this, we can be thankful. Do you know what really encourages me today and throughout life? Is you. You who are in the midst of great trials, and yet you have not given yourself into bitterness and anger at your situation. You've remained grateful and thankful. It's a testimony of God's grace and He's working in your life. It's the evidence of your deep roots in Christ and your established faith in Him. This is what Paul is telling the church at Colossae. He's telling the Colossians, remember who you are in Christ. That means walk in Him, rest upon Him, be firm and settled in the truth, be growing and always be full of thanksgiving and praise in Him. You know, there's just this real sense of peace knowing that Christ is in us. I kind of think of that as when the disciples and Jesus were on the ship and Jesus was in the down below sleeping and He's in the ship and the ship is being tossed to and fro and all of the disciples are upset. The apostles are like, hey, what's going on? Jesus, do you not care that we're perishing? And He just gets up and He speaks, peace, be still. And the storms were calm. All this time they had Christ in the ship with them. And they panicked. He lives in us. He cares for us. He died on the cross to prove He loves us. And in the midst of our storms, He's living in us and we panic. And we get all upset. We go, oh, I can't. Why? And then we get all this. What? This is not what I expected. And I'm not sure. Where is God in this? He's right there in you. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. Recall who you are in Christ. That means walk in him. Rest in the midst of the storm. Be firm and settled in your faith. Be growing in him and always be full of thanksgiving and praise to him. I thank you, God, that you love me enough to teach me through my trials, that you want me to be more like you. Paul felt the Colossians needed this encouragement because the false teachers were trying to persuade them to turn away from God. Because it's not enough to be in Christ, is what they were saying. However, in the next few verses, Paul is going to attack this philosophy of the false teachers and encourage the believers to stay true to God's word, realizing that Christ and his word is sufficient for us. And so we begin in verse 8. Resist the urge to rebel against the scriptures. Paul makes it clear that as a Christ follower, we must be alert against false teachings. You see his words in verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. And the word philosophy means the love and the pursuit of wisdom. Is wisdom wrong? Well, no. But putting our faith in human wisdom instead of God and his word is wrong and it's dangerous. The heretics in Colossae were pushing a philosophy of life that had been developed by combining Christianity with Judaism and with their pagan beliefs. Paul is warning the believers not to allow themselves to be taken captive. He reminds them to remember that Christ has set you free. Paul continues to warn them, don't be taken captive by this teaching that is contrary to God's word. This false teaching is nothing more than empty deceit. And Paul is saying it is according to human tradition. According to the elements, according to the elemental spirits of the world and not according to Christ. In this statement, we see the elements of what the false teachings are. So what are they? Well, first, Paul says here, the teaching is according to human tradition. It's not based on the word of God. It's man-made. It's not from the scripture. The false teacher is telling you that what you've learned in the scripture is good and well, but to have the fullness of the Christian experience, you need more than the scripture. Think of it this way. From these rules and traditions, that's all you really need to do. That's what they're saying. Just keep the law and keep the rules and traditions, and Christ will be enough. What they're saying is that Christ nor the scriptures are sufficient enough for you. You need something else, and that's a lie from the pits of hell. It's a heresy. Then he goes on to another element of the teaching is that according to the elemental spirits of the world. We're not real clear on what Paul's thinking is here. He may be referring to the elementary teaching based on immature and childish thoughts, based on immature religion and immature teachings, or he may be referring to demonic beings who control unbelievers with astrology. You see, there are people who believe that the position of the planets and the stars actually control human destiny. Either way, Paul warns them to refuse this teaching. It is not from God. False teachings suggest that something needs to be added to the work of Christ. It teaches that it's not sufficient. And if anyone follows this kind of teaching, he or she is rebelling against the truth of God's word. You see, we have the whole Word of God. We have it all right here. It's complete. There's nothing to add to it, and there should be nothing to take away from it. It's complete. And make no mistake, there are plenty of teachers still today that are teaching false heresy and doctrine. They teach some parts of the Word of God, but not the whole truth. And what Paul is saying is, resist the urge to rebel against the Scripture. Embrace the whole Word of God. It is sufficient to meet our every need. Christ and His Word is enough. There's a great peace that comes from the Word of God as you read it, as you begin to dig into it and understand the context and understand the historical times that were happening there and what Paul or whatever the author was addressing at that time. His Word is enough. Look at verse 9. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. I'm telling you, there could be a whole sermon, a whole series of sermons on this. Paul is telling us that Christ is God. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him. Paul knew that the heretics were saying that Jesus was not really God. It's almost unthinkable to them that God would take on human form and a body and come to earth. But the truth is, He did just that. Almost all of the false teachers and their teachings began in some form of denial of this great central truth, the incarnation of the Son of God. This kind of teaching denies this teaching here of the incarnation of the Son of God is truth. But there are those that deny it, and those that deny that deny the truth of God's Word. It rebels against the truth of the Scriptures. The truth is that Christ did come to this earth in a bodily form. He's Christ incarnate. And yet still He kept His divine nature. He was and is and always will be God forever and ever and ever. Verse 10 continues on in this pattern of thought. And you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority, because Christ is who He is. We being in Christ are complete in Him. As a result of the fall of man, as a result of sin entering into the world, we are spiritually incomplete and totally out of fellowship with God. However, at the time of our salvation, we became in Him partakers of His divine nature, and we are made complete in Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that because we are in Christ, His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Church, as believers in Christ, we are complete in Him. And we do not need any teaching from any cult or from any false teacher to tell us that God's not really God. He is sufficient. His Word is sufficient for every need we have. He is the head and the rule and authority. He is God Himself. To deny this truth is to deny the Scripture. Therefore, Paul calls us to resist the urge to rebel against Christ and His teaching. If we allow false teaching in our church, we are rebelling against the Scripture. And we are to be on guard, church. We're to be on guard about what we allow to be preached, taught, read in this church, and even in your life. You are to be on guard. I'm to be on guard. Just because someone says this is a good spiritual book doesn't make it so. It has to be compared to the Scripture, which is the final authority. You see, the devil wants to destroy you, he wants to destroy me, and he wants to destroy this church. And he'll do whatever it takes to accomplish this. So what does that mean? Well, what that means is that we must know what the Word of God says. You got to know what you believe. Know what you believe. We must know the truth so well that when false teaching is present, we'll know exactly what's wrong with it. And here's a very good illustration of that. Janae, my wife, was a bank teller years and years ago. And she said in the training, they didn't really focus on all the possible markings of counterfeit money. Instead, they focused on them getting to know what real money felt like and what it looked like. And the more they handled real money, the easier it became for them to spot a fake bill. When it would come through and they would touch it, that's not right. That doesn't feel right. It's not, the ink's right. There's no risen part on there. It's just not right. And that's our duty as Christ followers, to know the truth of God's Word so well that when someone begins to speak heresy, we can identify that false teaching and stay away from it. And so Paul has encouraged the Colossians to recall who they are in Christ. And he has encouraged them to resist the urge to rebel against the Scriptures. And lastly, in this passage, Paul is encouraging them to remember what they have in Christ. Oftentimes, when I have dark days or what some might call depression and discouragement, defeat, it's because I forgot what I have. It's because I forgot what I have in Christ. I'm not remembering who I am in Christ. I'm kind of giving up. There's a lot of teaching that we could do in these verses 11 through 15, specifically on circumcision, but we'll save that for another time. However, the false teachers here in Colossae were teaching that circumcision was necessary for salvation. In the Old Testament, circumcision was used symbolically to illustrate that man needed a cleansing of his heart. And God was always concerned with the heart, not the actual act of circumcision itself. For Christians, the rite of circumcision is not necessary, because Paul says, in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In him, in Christ, we have been cleansed of the power of sin. We have been given a new nature created in the righteousness of Christ. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do you get it here? Sin is still present, but we are no longer under the power of sin. You know, when people just say, I can't help myself. Yes, you can. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 tells us that he's given all things that pertain to life and godliness. All that we need is sufficient in Christ to say, I don't have to live that way. I don't have to go down that road. I don't have to live like that. We have the power through the Holy Spirit to say no to sin. The problem is, we don't want to. We enjoy that short moment of thrill, of pleasure. But it's only for a season. Paul reminds the Christ followers in Colossae that what we have in Christ is salvation, is forgiveness, is redemption and freedom from the power of sin. Why do I want to live I'm going to give you an illustration here, a true to life. If you've ever been on a farm and you've ever had anything to do with pigs, you know that you can put out nice clean food over here, or you can pour out what's called slop. It's water, milk, and leftovers from the dinner table and all that stuff mixed in there. It's sour, just all kinds of just junk. And you pour it out there, and they will feast on that and leave the good stuff. My grandfather one time said to me, he said, why do these pigs want to live in the filth and the dirt of this when there's better nourishment over here? They will only eat the better nourishment if I take it and mix it with the slop. They will continue to live in a muddy condition instead of over there on nice green grass. Why is it that we continue to feast on the slop of this world and not feast on the nutrients of God's Word that are sufficient for all our needs? It's because it's hard work. Means study. It means meditating upon it. We are so inoculated by this world of having our brain in neutral. It's exactly all TV does, is it puts your brain in neutral and teaches you stuff that you really shouldn't be taught. Paul shows the Colossians here the sweet fellowship in verse 12 that they have because of their union with Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God. The powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. Just as Paul knows circumcision is not required for salvation, he also knows that baptism is not a part of salvation. Baptism is an act of obedience after we are saved that shows others outwardly what has taken place in our life inwardly. You see, as a Christ follower, we identify with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. A spiritual transformation has taken place in our life, and in the life of any believer can only be through faith in the powerful working of God. This same active working power that raised Jesus from the dead is not our doing. It's what we have in Christ. It's all His doing. We have the ability and the freedom and the power to overcome sin, but we'd rather live in the slop and in the muddiness of the sin than to live walking in the paths of righteousness and holiness. And so Paul says, guys, listen, these false teachings are going to take you down a road that tells you that you're the answer to your problems, but you are not. You are actually the problem. It's a sin problem. He's saying to you, that sin problem is going to hurt you. Verse 13 and 14, Paul tells us something else we have in Christ, a new life and forgiveness of sin. He reminds the Colossians that we were dead in trespasses and sin as we were before salvation. But God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, made us alive. We have new life together with Him. He has forgiven our sin. He has canceled our debt that stood against us. Not a trace of our debt remains to be held against us. It was nailed to the cross. Our forgiveness is complete. The shed blood of Christ bought our redemption and ransomed our soul. That's what we have in Christ. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. We're clean. We have the ability to walk in the newness of life, and we have the ability to be victorious in this life. We don't have to live in the slop of this world. We can rise above it through the power of the Holy Spirit, through His Word, and through the Word of God that keeps us and sanctifies us. We don't have to live in the pig's pen. And Paul's giving them a refresher course. Pick yourself up and get out of the pen and clean yourself up with the Word of God. And live like you're a child of God instead of murmuring and complaining about life. For He is sufficient. And finally, verse 15 tells us what we have in Christ. We have victory and freedom. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of our union with Christ. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. The false teachers would have the Colossians worship spirits or angelic beings. But through Christ's victory on the cross, He made a public display of disarming and shaming these beings. He triumphed over them. Oh, they tried to stop the redemptive work of Christ, but they couldn't. They've been defeated. And we may still wrestle with evil while on earth, but make no mistake. They have been defeated. They cannot be victorious. Christ reigns supreme, and to be united with Him means we have victory over the power of sin and freedom over the dominion of sin. And when in doubt, we look to the cross to remind ourselves who we are in Christ. To remember what we have in Christ. And to refuse to rebel against the holy word of God. I don't know where you are in your walk with Christ. And if we don't fully know the truth, it will be hard to really distinguish between true teaching and false teaching. If you don't know the Word, you won't know what's false and what's true. What are you doing? Listen, no one said life's going to be easy. No one said it's going to be a bed of roses without the thorns. All I know is that this life is about that much of all of eternity. And I have everything I need in Christ. And this part of pain and suffering here is well worth all the glory I will be able to enjoy living with God. Enjoying the pleasures of heaven forevermore. I was just telling one of our members earlier, I said, I would love to know what it's like just to be able to think all pure thoughts and have no evil thoughts enter my mind. To know what it's like to be able to think and live in a way that is so righteous and so holy that it's the only life I know. But while we're here, you need to recall who you are in Christ. When tough times come, recall who you are. I am a child of God. I have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have been redeemed. I've been ransomed. I've been adopted into His family. That's who I am. And He has told me that whatever I need to live for His glory is sufficient in His Word and in Christ. And I can live for Him. We need to resist the temptation to rebel against the Word of God. And you know, we got to remember what we have in Christ. It's far more greater. Far more greater. So whatever you're battling now, that's what I want you to do. I want you to recall who you are in Christ. That'll encourage you. I want you to look up scripture in the Bible that talks about who you are in Christ. I want you to resist that urge to rebel against the scripture when you want to live the way life you want to live it. But the scripture says that's not the way to live it, that you don't rebel. You say, all right, that's right, God. I'm going to walk this path, the narrow path, and I'm going to follow you. And I'm going to remember what I have in Christ. I want to remember I have freedom. I have redemption. I have forgiveness. And I have all these wonderful things. And for me to be so discouraged in life is an act of being an atheist. It's to believe that God's dead. When I believe that there's nothing that can help me, I'm declaring that there's no God, and if there is, he's dead. But in Christ, I remember what I have. I have victory. And you can have that victory today in him. Would you stand with me as the praise team comes? I have no earthly idea what your needs are, but I do know this. I do know that whatever you need is found in this word of God that is sufficient for each and every one of your needs. And God has given it to you in Christ. And Christ is in us, and we are in him. And it's this unbreakable bond that's been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're secure. We have all that we need in this life. Live as if you're in Christ, because you are. Walk worthy of your calling.
Thank you for joining us. Please feel free to share this message, but remember, don't charge for it or change it. The Lord's message should be free and for everyone.